Well, as I've done for several years, in February, as my contribution to the congregation's service auction, I offered the opportunity to sell the right to select a topic for a sermon, which I would deliver on an appropriate Sunday morning. This year, Ellen Cohn purchased the right to name the sermon topic. Ellen lit the chalice this morning at the beginning of our service. Ellen and I had a wonderful lunch, and she presented me with not one, but five possible sermon topics. After further conversation, I offered to focus on the first one on her list, and she agreed. Is the human race evolving to a higher consciousness? The dictionaries generally agree on a definition of consciousness. It is the state of being awake and aware of one's surroundings. Then higher consciousness might be defined as the state of being more awake and more aware of our surroundings compared to ordinary consciousness. Now, some believe that we'll reach this state of higher consciousness through meditation. Research shows that meditation has many health benefits. It decreases depression, it reduces anxiety, it improves your ability to work under stress. Mindfulness-based stress reduction is used by the highly successful basketball team, the Golden State Warriors. But does meditation, involving breathing and thinking or saying a mantra, does that lead to a higher state of awareness? Several years ago in Philadelphia, Dr. Andrew Newberg conducted brain scans on people engaged in meditation. Dr. Newberg found a decreased activity in one part of the brain. The decreased blood flow was in the area of the brain that primarily orientates us in space. It keeps track of which way is up or down, forward or behind, and it helps us judge distance and angles. Now, this part of the brain tells us the difference between us and everything else. In deep meditation, this part of the brain decreases in activity. Our brain interprets its failure to find the borderline between the self and the outside world to mean that such a distinction does not exist. The brain perceives that the self is endlessly interwoven with all of the universe. This perception feels utterly and unquestionably real for those who meditate. They feel they've touched infinity. They know they exist, but they do not know where they are. Now, if higher consciousness is the state of being more awake and aware of one's surroundings, not knowing where I am does not feel like higher consciousness to me. My goal is to be more fully aware in the present moment. This is what I mean by higher consciousness. Not to remove myself into another world, but to be fully present in everyday life. So I value the health benefits of meditation. But while many meditators will disagree with me on this, I don't see meditation as a path to a higher consciousness. Well, there are other approaches. As an alternative to meditation, a second approach to higher consciousness is drugs. Besides coffee and nicotine, Ritalin is widely used by college students, especially when they are writing papers or taking exams. For a short time, Ritalin can give the user heightened intellectual, creative, and learning powers. But the most famous higher state of consciousness drug is LSD. Modern brain scans reveal that LSD users experience images through information drawn from many parts of their brains, not just the visual cortex at the back of the head that normally processes visual information. Under LSD, brain regions normally segregated speak to each other. California Unitarian Universalists were some of the first to try LSD. In 1968, Tom Wolfe published The Electric Kool-Aid Acid Test, a book which includes a chapter called A Miracle in 7 Days. The chapter describes a Unitarian Universalist conference in the summer of 1965 at Asilomar, a beautiful state park by the sea in Monterey, California. For a week, ministers and others tried LSD to achieve higher consciousness. Another electric Kool-Aid acid test occurred 50 years ago this year, in February of 1966, at the Sepulveda Unitarian Universalist Society in Los Angeles. So you think we experiment with worship. These days, people are still interested in LSD. Last week, the Guardian newspaper published an essay promoting the use of the drug. The author wrote in the Guardian, "To explore one's consciousness, to feel synesthesia, which is the ability to associate colors with music, to feel synesthesia, to feel a union with all living things, to feel the pulse of the cosmos. Why is this such a bad thing? At a time when mindfulness and every other yoga class promises nirvana, why are we so afraid that we could reach transcendence through a pill?" Some compare the complex visual hallucinations associated with LSD to the undifferentiated nature of the infant mind. This can bring about both self-awareness and well-being. A testimony from an LSD proponent. However, are these experiences a higher state of consciousness? The essay by this proponent of LSD included a description of her outing from London to Brighton. The author wrote, "One of the worst days of my life was taking LSD and going to the Dolphinarium in Brighton. Not one of my most sensible decisions in retrospect. I don't really like dolphins anyway, and there they were. These weird rubberized fish things being sexually taunted by women in wetsuits. I was convinced they would leap out of the water any second, massacre the audience while making those horrible chattering noises. On the train back to London, I was certain we were actually on our way to Auschwitz, and no one wanted to admit it." Now, while those who take LSD may disagree, I do not see this as a path to higher consciousness. But there are other approaches. Perhaps we can evolve to higher consciousness with selective breeding. This is the way we try to create faster racehorses. Perhaps it could also create humans with higher consciousness. Unfortunately, geniuses do not necessarily give birth to geniuses. Albert Einstein had 2 sons. 1 son was actually above average intelligence. He became a professor of hydraulic engineering at the University of California in Berkeley, an expert in his field. However, the other son had a breakdown at the age of 20 and was diagnosed with schizophrenia. He died in a psychiatric clinic in Zurich in 1965. So selective breeding actually is no guarantee of a faster racehorse, and it's not a path to higher consciousness. Well, if breeding is not the answer, perhaps genetic manipulation offers more promise. Soon, researchers may be able to identify the genes in our genetic code that cause some people to have a higher consciousness than others. Higher consciousness could be created in future generations by selecting embryos that have these genes. Researchers speculate that by using this method, within 5 generations, we can create humans that have a level of consciousness, a level of conscious awareness, equal to or above that of the most consciously aware people in the history of the human population. Now, unlike meditation, unlike drugs, unlike selective breeding, actually, I think genetic manipulation has the potential to be a path to evolving higher consciousness. But it will take at least 100 years, 5 generations. Now, some researchers, like Ray Kurzweil, suggest a faster way we can evolve to higher consciousness. Kurzweil suggests that within 20 years, we will evolve to a higher consciousness using nanobots. Nanotechnology is manipulation of matter on an atomic, molecular, and supermolecular scale. The first demonstration of nanomotors operating in a living organism was carried out in 2014 at the University of California in San Diego. By 2036, Kurzweil predicts that after an injection of these molecular robots, we can connect our brains to the World Wide Web directly without keyboards or screens. People with nanobots will then be able to outperform those people with unaugmented brains. For example, a direct brain connection will enable humans to have instant access to research and instant access to accurate arithmetic calculations. Now, I'm 65. I wonder if in 20 years, if I'm still alive when this becomes available, is it something that I would want? Well, I am something of a Luddite. I do not today even have a smartphone. So I doubt I would want to be injected with nanobots just to get a faster internet connection. On the other hand, if nanobots will help with the memory loss that often comes with growing older, I might be willing to buy a few nanobots and inject them into my brain. Will this be higher consciousness? Well, I don't think it fits the definition. Nanobots in our head will not increase the speed at which we think. They just provide faster access to data. Faster access to information does not necessarily mean a higher level of consciousness. Now, artificial intelligence might be the way to overcome the limits of our brains and achieve higher consciousness. Things are moving fast in this area. In January of 2011, the IBM computer named Watson beat the 2 best human players on the TV game Jeopardy. This gave the world evidence that humanity has taken a big step towards a world in which intelligent machines will understand and respond to humans. It was an amazing achievement. However, the most difficult human game is not Jeopardy, but Go. Go is a board game for 2 players in which the aim is to surround more territory than the opponent. The game originated in China more than 2,500 years ago and is one of the oldest board games played today. Go requires human intuition. It requires human creativity. It requires strategic thinking. And these are hard things to replicate in a machine. And 2 years ago, in 2014, experts in artificial intelligence estimated that it would take at least 10 years until 2024 before a computer could be created that would be able to beat a world champion human Go player. A month ago, AlphaGo, using a Google supercomputer, defeated the human Go champion of the world. To Go players and to experts in artificial intelligence, this is an astonishing achievement. Well, personally, not being an expert in artificial intelligence, I am amazed, astonished, and awestruck by the GPS in my car. This small rectangle can recognize my voice and guide me with its own voice. Of course, it's not completely perfect. When I asked it to take me to Yoder's restaurant in Sarasota, it gave me directions to Hooters. It is still an amazing extension of my own consciousness. At least one computer scientist has complained that people quickly move from saying, they cannot possibly do that with a machine, that's impossible, to taking the new machine for granted. A GPS or a smartphone is an extension of our consciousness that none of us had a few years ago, and that many of us take for granted today. As these examples show, the development of artificial intelligent computers is moving fast. Experts believe there's a 10% chance that they will develop human-level machine intelligence, a machine that is as intelligent as a human being by 2030. They agree there's a 50% chance that this machine will be created by the year 2050. And they say there's a 90% chance that computer engineers will develop human-level machine intelligence by the beginning of the next century. They believe that within 30 years after the development of a human-level machine intelligence, the machines will pass human intelligence. They will be smarter than we are. The ultimate potential of machine intelligence is vastly greater than our own organic intelligence. In this way, we may evolve to create a higher consciousness. The religious questions here are obvious. Is a human-level machine intelligence alive? Or is there something, a soul, a spirit, in a biological human that cannot be reproduced in the form of a machine? Smart people are hard at work studying these questions. In researching the sermon, I learned that there is a Center for Consciousness Studies located at the University of Arizona in Tucson. And I learned that there is a Center for Consciousness Science located at the University of Michigan Medical School in Ann Arbor. Now, a week from now, these two institutions are co-sponsoring the 23rd Annual Conference on the Science of Consciousness at a resort in the mountains just north of Tucson. The program book for the conference is online, and it says, after 23 years, the seminal conference towards a science of consciousness is now simply renamed the Science of Consciousness. But as consciousness cannot be observed, scientifically explained, nor commonly defined, is there now truly a science of consciousness? Are we there yet? We do have essential questions. is the brain a computer? Does it process or generate conscious information as output? When, where, and how did consciousness evolve? Can we have free will, or are we just along for the ride? Will consciousness be reproduced through brain mapping or through artificial intelligence? Now, the conference planners expect more than 1,000 participants from 60 countries to go to Tucson in a week. Monday morning, April 25th, starts with a, quote, tennis-centric approach to consciousness at the hotel tennis courts. The conference ends on Saturday night, April 30th, with a party called The End of Consciousness, which will include a cash bar. In between time, there are 400 lectures. Several are by anesthesiologists, which makes perfect sense because these are the people who cause us to lose consciousness during surgery and regain consciousness after surgery. When it comes to the topic of higher consciousness, most of the talks are by researchers who come from India. One lecture is called Studying Higher Consciousness Through the Study of Dreams by a researcher from New Delhi. Another lecture is called An Inner Evolution of Thoughts in Relationship to Meditation by a researcher from Agra, India. A third lecture is called Meditation and Neuroscience of Consciousness. It is by another researcher from Agra. These are just three of the 400 lectures at the Tucson Conference. For those who are intellectually curious about these things, this is an exciting time to be alive. People all over the world are exploring the nature of consciousness using tools that allow us for the first time to scan our brains. Well, speaking as a generalist, speaking as a person who knows a little bit about many things, what is my answer to the question that Ellen posed in the sermon title? Is the human race evolving to a higher consciousness? When it comes to meditation, to drugs, to selective breeding, and to nanobots, I am skeptical. These approaches may offer some improvements in consciousness, but none of them offer, in my opinion, a major breakthrough towards a higher consciousness. However, when it comes to genetic manipulation and to artificial intelligence, my answer to the question posed in the sermon title is yes. These approaches have potential. Using them, the human race may evolve to a higher consciousness. Of course, as with all Unitarian Universalist sermons, this is only my opinion. It is not the official opinion of this church. And as always, you are each free to agree or disagree. If evolution to a higher consciousness occurs, will it be a good change? Like a family of sparrows adopting an owl egg, it's not clear what the consequences will be. Nevertheless, it is an interesting time for our children and our grandchildren to be alive. I wish them luck. Meanwhile, it is time for some of us to temporarily enhance our own consciousness by enjoying a little caffeine.